The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Came from the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking.
Hi, Mark.
With me on the phone, I have Hassan Godwin.
Yes, I am on the phone.
Yes. Are you in quarantine? Is that why you're on the phone?
Yes, I am in quarantine. another 24 hours and I can get out and not infect people with this strange Martian virus.
I like how you say, yes, I am in quarantine. Like, no, there's nobody with guns to my head. And it appears that our very own Charlie Saladino has contracted the very same virus. So, you know, it's just me in the studio all by my lonesome. And Trevor. But he's protected behind a glass, so he can't get infected at all.
Yeah, so he's all right. Well, you don't have the virus. That's why you're at the job.
I'm patient zero. I don't get the virus.
Oh, now that you said that, you will.
Probably.
What we call a jinx, my friend. Jinx.
But if you're already jinxed and you jinx yourself, doesn't that negate the original jinx?
No.
No.
It's just another jinx.
It just compounds it?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
It makes it stronger. Makes the jinx more powerful.
All right. So if anybody has any trouble listening to us on the air,
too bad.
You can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also on the GB website,
you can audio streaming.
Yes, live audio streaming, not the fake audio streaming.
Not fake. Hey, you got news?
I do have some news. Well, I have to do the whole introduction spiel first because they want to know about the web camera that's on, and they want to know the phone number here.
I don't want to know about any of that stuff.
You should know about that stuff already.
I don't need to know about it. It's redundant information, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, so I'll just take it away with the news then.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
Let's see. It has been announced that due to the fact that Paranormal Activity 4, which only cost about $5 million to make, pulled in $30.2 million this opening weekend, will now have a fifth one coming out next year in October.
This was supposed to be the last one.
No. Having seen the movie, it tells you this is going to be... there's going to be another one, because the way the movie is set up, if you're watched the series as I have for whatever reason, the movie goes part 3, then part 1, then part 2, then part 1, then part 5, then part 4.
What?
Okay, so in the order, chronologically speaking, the movies are part 3 would come first. Then part 1, then part 2, because part 2 happened during part 1 but ended after part 1. And then there's a mysterious part that we haven't seen yet, which would be part 5, and then part 4 that just came out. Because it's a whole bunch of questions in part 4, which you would be like, all right, they're going to explain it in the next one, which is going to be set in between part 2 and part 4. So it would be part 5.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like the Fast and the Furious series.
Yes, yes.
Where part 3 is actually going to be the last part, apparently.
In theory.
Theoretically, because characters that died in part 3 are still alive in part
4 and 5.
4 and 5.
And 6, that's coming up.
And 6, most likely.
So.
And the character even says it at the end of 5. He goes, I'm going to go to Japan, which is where he died.
Yeah.
Not now.
I'm going to go get killed later, but not just yet. For those of you who are still confused, I'm not a twin.
No.
It's not a shower scene. I'm in the past.
Yes.
So this movie is like that. So you really got to follow it along. And I have to say, I've been saying this for the past 3 movies. If the movie was condensed to stuff actually happening, and you put all the movies together, it would make one really good movie, or be like a great series on TV, because that story is actually kind of, you know, intricate and interesting.
As long as they get to the bottom of it. The problem is that they keep stretching it out so they can make another buck off of it. They keep leaving it open. And you're like, but I don't understand.
Well, no, because the second one really actually enhanced the first one. It explained a lot of things. And then the third one went to the beginning and they explained how all this happened with the two sisters. So I'm like, all right, it actually makes a story. It actually makes a pretty darn good story. There's a cult and there's some people and there's possession and there's some betrayal. It's all good. But now, you know, they're moving it ahead and they jump.
The story is full of hapless husbands who never listen and never pay attention and always end up getting killed. That's the basis of the entire story. It's some hapless husband who is, if there's one black guy, if one of them had like an interracial relationship, there's one black guy and they were like, yo, I think your wife is haunted, you know, and he wouldn't be sitting there breaking out Ouija boards and calling mediums and taunting the ghost. He'd be like, okay, look, we have to do something about this ghost. I can't sleep at night when I know the little creepy kids are wandering around my house and, you know, my appliances are floating all over the place. I can't deal with it. So we're going to have to do something about this right away. The show, the series wouldn't have gone past the third movie.
Well,
it would not have gone past the third movie.
In its defense, the second movie, the husband did figure out what to do. So
he left.
No, in the second movie, the husband, he actually transferred the demon from his wife into his sister, which caused the first movie to happen.
See? That's right.
Yeah, so it was actually
That's right.
So he's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to get rid of my wife. We'll be safe. And then, of course, yeah, the sister comes and she kills them both. That was a great plan.
Well, see, you're wrong, because you just said he figured out what to do. Clearly, that was not what you should do.
Well, he got the demon out of his wife. That was the plan.
Yeah, but then the demon came. He should have locked the door after that.
He's like, everything's fine now.
He came diddy bopping in there and killed him.
Yeah, that's pretty much how all the men, like, somebody just comes in and starts killing people. I'm like, wait a minute, don't they lock doors or something?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, look, you know, it's like the Wicker Man. I've seen too many movies like this where some kook is investigating something very bad, something untoward, right?
Right.
I'm like, I'm gonna investigate this. There's always some stooge who has no belief in it. There's always the idiots they send these places. Like, I don't believe in ghosts and goblins and the occult. I don't believe in any of that stuff. It's BS. So he goes, he goes wandering in, and all this stuff starts happening right in front of him. Stuff starts floating around. People start getting killed. You know, babies, you know, speaking Shakespeare, kind of stuff like that, weird stuff like that. And he's like, I don't see anything. And then he gets killed, and he's got the nerve to cry for help at the end or run away looking distraught. It's like, no, you taunted this machine. The machine turned on you. That's none of these guys are – nobody ever gets this, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff's been going on, and I'm all alone here, and nobody believes me. I think I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to the mainland, like, especially in the Wicker Man, because he was stuck on this island. I'm going to go back to the mainland. I'm going to raise an army of believers, and then I'm going to come back. That makes sense. That's what Hassan would do. This whole, like, no, I'm going to be steadfast. I will investigate this. I will get to the bottom of it, and I will have debunked it. No, you won't, because even if you prove that all these people are crazy, and there is no occult, and there is no superpower, you're still stuck on an island with crazy people.
That's the flaw in the plan.
Yes.
There's no things. They're all crazy.
Yes. So Paranormal Activity, even if you prove that your wife is crazy and she's not being haunted, you're still in the house with your crazy wife once you prove the story is not true. That's what these people never figured out. After you figure it out, you go and you phone her from a remote location, and you say, hey, babe, I discovered that you're really a kook, and you're not being haunted. And she'll be like, ah, where are you so that I may slaughter you? And no, I'm not telling you.
That's another investigation you have to find
out.
Yeah,
I'm in a bunker. Yeah, you're going to have to find me, darling. And by the time you do that, trust me, the cops will be all over you. That's what you got to do. All right, I'm sorry.
So, well, that's news that's going to be number five, made a big buttload of money based on how much it cost, because it only cost $5 million. It already made...
Was it good? You saw it. What, was it good? Or is that for a later show?
No, we're not gonna do that. I'm just it's more of the same, and I was very disappointed in the fact that it was rated R. So I was like, oh, this one's rated R because the other ones are PG-13. So I figured it's gonna be blood shooting out, heads exploding and stuff. And no, it was just cursing. So I was like, wait a minute, this is why it's rated R, because it's cursing. This is terrible.
Really?
Yeah, but like I said, it advances the story, and I just gotta wait till see part five to see if I like part four. But I did like part two. Barely.
Fair enough.
So moving along. Let's see. Oh, alrighty. last week, we mentioned that the shows were coming out and being canceled left and right. And there was an endangered list of shows. So
yeah.
The new endangered show that was just canceled was NBC sitcom Animal Practice, about veterinarian at a New York animal hospital.
I was actually watching that show.
And Charlie said that he liked it too. I remember. He was like, I love that show with the monkey. I was like, there's a monkey? And
yes, there was a monkey.
And nobody else cared about the monkey. So
no. I honestly think NBC jumped the gun because it was on twice. It couldn't have been on long enough for people to have decided that. I mean, the ratings must have been abysmal.
They're saying it drew less than 4 million viewers on average.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, a hit show such as The Big Bang Theory averages about 14 million viewers a week. So that's 10 million viewers less.
Yes. Hence reasons why they'd probably want to keep that around.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So there you go. The monkey is out of a job until Hangover 3. It's the same monkey, by the way.
That was the same... Was that the Hangover Monkey?
That was the Hangover Monkey. Because you only can have one monkey at a time. Because remember, he used to be the Outbreak Monkey. And he was in everything. And then I guess he died or something. And now we got the Hangover Monkey.
Because they do that, you know. Monkeys do die.
Yes, I've been told. Never actually seen one, but I've been told.
Yeah, they die pretty quick.
Tarzan told me the other day.
They don't live, like, you know, for tens of thousands of...
years?
Well... hours. But
well,
they don't live like humans. They don't live for tens of years.
Well, if you remember, we had that story that the Tarzan monkey, the cheetah, had died after 50-something years.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, that was unprecedented, though.
That's true. So the poor monkey is holding on to his dear job now. Speaking of shows that have been canceled. Last week, we from the desk of Charlie Saladino, he mentioned that it was a Dane Cook show that was canceled before it even aired. So I did a little research, and the show was called Next Caller. It was a mid-season replacement, so it wasn't even for now. It was a backup show for shows that got canceled, such as Animal Hospital, and it was canceled after they did four test shows, and it was canceled. And the executives say that creatively, the series was not going in a direction that they had hoped for. The show would have been about Dane Cook as a sexist satellite radio DJ who hosted a show with a preppy NPR feminist. I can see the laughs right now.
No, you can't. I wasn't laughing.
No. And it had Jeffrey Tambor in it. And poor Jeffrey Tambor. Yep, so they canceled that before it even aired. That's how bad the show is.
How many episodes did they have? Like, how did they know that it wasn't going in the right direction? It couldn't have been from one episode.
They filmed four test episodes, so they weren't even the episodes that were going to air. They were just testing out the cameras and the interaction between the characters, and they filmed in front of a live studio audience, and the audience was like, yeah, this isn't good. So when the fake can laughter isn't even enough to make it laugh, they just whoosh, out the door.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how bad it is.
It's just cold, man.
And I've always thought, if this show was so bad, I wonder what the shows that didn't make it, how bad were they? I'm always thinking about that.
They gotta be some serious bad. They gotta be seriously, seriously bad.
I mean, if a show about Gilligan can make it on the air, who got, you know, seven castaways, what did it make on the air?
Well, that was a long time ago, though.
Well, I'm all right. So, what show was a stupid show I saw last year? Well, the shows that are gonna be canceled, The Last Resort, the a nuclear missile, there's a submarine strolling around the United States being shot at. Like, all right, so if that made it, then what couldn't make it? What was I saying? No, this is too bad. This is so bad.
I'm actually, not to impede on what you're talking about, because it has a lot to do with what you're saying. I'm actually very surprised by Revolution.
Yeah.
Now, I've been watching it, and I actually enjoy the show. I think it's a good show. I think it's well done. I think it's a little Lost-ish. It's got elements of other things that I have seen, some of which I really like, some of which I'm not too crazy about. But strangely enough, it all goes together to make a pretty darn good show. And I like the characters. I do like Billy Burke, so I like the main character. But when I saw it like maybe 6 months ago, I saw a trailer on it for YouTube. A trailer for it on YouTube.
Okay.
In English. And it was, the trailer was really interesting. It had some really great music in it and whatever. I was like, wow, all right, that's kind of cool. Look, it's Bella's dad. And he kicks butt. Bella's dad is kicking butt on the show. So when the show finally came out, and I saw the first episode. They released the first episode maybe like 2 or 3 weeks before it actually aired, so I was able to see it that way. And I was like, well, this is pretty good, but it's kind of smart. I don't think it's going to last too long. And it gets to episode 5, and then they announced that it got cleared for a full season, so it's going to get a full season. Now, look, I could be wrong. They still have plenty of time to cancel it.
Right.
Especially when it gets really good and everybody's like, oh, this is the greatest show ever. And, and then it suddenly just disappears. So there's ample opportunity for it to get jacked when you least expect it. But I am surprised. A lot of people seem to be into the show. And also, a channel, it's on NBC, you know?
Yeah.
NBC doesn't give you a lot of leeway, you know?
Not
NBC,
anymore. Not anymore. No. They used to. I remember they used to.
NBC will cut a throat when they need
it. Hey, what was it? That Paul Reiser show got canceled after the first episode.
I don't even know about that.
Exactly.
You're not talking mad about you, right?
No, I'm talking about the Paul Reiser show. It was about him playing a version of himself trying to get back into the business with wife and kids. And that only lasted one episode.
Wow.
And ironically, he was on the Jay Leno show the next week to promote it, but it was already gone.
I remember you telling me about that.
No, that was something else. But yeah, he also went on. Yeah, yeah. I was telling you about the Anthony Clark show when he got canceled way back when on Arsenio Hall. And he and his show got canceled the day of he was appearing on Arsenio Hall. And he comes out and he goes, hey, that's what you're going to talk about. He goes, I just got word they canceled my show. And they just told him just before he came out. So he
what kind of,
yeah.
What kind of move is that?
What was he going to be? Promoting a show that didn't air anymore?
He should have. They should have let him have a little dignity. Let him go out there and feel good about himself. And promote his show, and then tell him afterwards, oh, well, you did really good out there. I got some bad news for you.
I don't know if that's better or worse, because then they'd be like, well, where's the show? Well, he's lying. He's lying on national television.
He's not lying. He doesn't know the show is canceled.
So he was just wrong.
It's not a lie. It's called plausible deniability.
Oh, okay.
Darn it.
Can you imagine that? This is his big break to go on a big TV show. He walks out.
Yes.
And
unfortunately, I can completely imagine it. I can imagine things are about to be great, and all that has to happen is this one wonderful thing, and life will be perfect. And I can imagine that one thing not happening.
I can only imagine what Arsenio Hall was thinking when he came out. Like, oh, well, what are we going to talk about now?
Not his fault.
Yeah, but still, it's one of those things that, you know, you got the whole, as we have had, I guess that, you know, we plan one thing and then something else completely happens. We're like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah, and then we just ramble for about an hour and a half. I don't like that soup. That soup was terrible. I'm never going to have that soup again. That was some bad soup.
Oh, man. So good job, Arsenio Hall.
All right. So,
and, yes.
What other news is there?
All right. Finally, I have the last bit. From the Someone Had to Do It department. during the Destination Star Trek London convention in Britain, a Swedish couple...
Really? The Star Trek London convention is in Britain? No. What are the chances?
that's not the news item.
Oh, sorry.
This is what happened at the convention.
I'm sorry.
You think they were going to call it Star Trek Germany and have
it... I'm just saying, it's the Star Trek London convention in Britain.
But
really?
The official name was Destination Star Trek London. That's the name of the convention.
I know. Go ahead. Joke.
The Swedish couple, Josie Soccer Top
and the Pussycat.
Sonny Gustavsson. So,
okay.
They were 23 and 29 respectively. Had the country's first ever Klingon wedding ceremony. The pair, who had met 4 years ago at a retirement home where they both work, were inspired to hold the ceremony after watching the episode of Deep Space Nine, where Jadzia marries Worf.
Right,
and they saw the Klingon ceremony, and they say, "We saw the clip from the series, and we thought it was very romantic about the beating hearts and a battle for one another. We liked it, and that's why we want to do this." They decided to wear prosthetics as Klingons, dress up as Klingons. And they had the wedding in Klingonese by Klingon aficionado, I guess, speaking, you know, in Klingon.
So,
yes.
That's pretty awesome.
Really? Wow. I thought you were going to go the other way with that one.
Well, look, it's dumb. It's goofy. But, I mean, it's freedom, you know? It's kind of awesome to be. I mean, look, if I had done it, I would expect it to be. I would call it dumb. You know, like, this is dumb, especially the money you spend to do it, you know, in that way. But it's dumb in the sense that it's just frivolous and meaningless and, you know, expensive. But it's meaningful if the two of them were really into that and the two of them were able to make a commitment to do that for their wedding and that they actually pulled it off. And then it made the news. It came from the radio.
That was the litmus test right there. That's the line.
Yeah. So, I mean, good God, that's fantastic. I have nothing bad to say about that.
I was going to be like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. That's what I was going with this. And you were like, you went the other way.
It is ridiculous, but that's why it's great. It's great because it's ridiculous.
All right. It's worth mentioning. That's all I can say. It's ridiculous because it's worth mentioning. Just like, you know, a guy who dresses up as a superhero and goes and gets beat up outside. And wherever the Phoenix guy.
Well, that's in its way until that guy ends up dead. And, you know, and then kids are like, oh, superheroes aren't real. And then they all become nihilists and decide that, you know, and then society turns into something out of Equilibrium. You know, yeah, then in that case, no, that's a bad idea. But that you have to wait until the guy gets killed.
Oh, okay. You know? So
before he gets killed, that's, you know, oh, that's kind of cool. He's out. He's the fist of goodness. He's out and about. He's going to save lives.
All right.
And then when he falls off a roof, you know, and we have 20 years of debate as to whether superheroes are a good influence on our kids or not, and comic books start to become banned from the country because of the bad influence that they are, and kids are jumping out the windows all over again, and all kinds of crazy stuff that they attributed to comics back in the
50s.
You know, then it'll be a bad idea. But for right now, it's kind of wonderful.
All right, so
we'll go with that.
Klingon wedding, good.
Yes.
Superhero falling off a roof, not good.
Right. But we have to wait until that happens.
Okay.
Guy running around in a superhero costume fighting crime, good. Guy getting killed in superhero costume on national television,
man.
not good.
All right, so Klingon wedding good, Klingon divorce bad.
Yes.
That'll be interesting. The first ever Klingon divorce.
That's just going to be ugly. in more ways than one.
They have to dress up as Klingons before they beat each other before they get divorced.
Well, one of them is probably going to have to die.
Maybe they'll kill the lawyer.
If you're doing it traditionally, if you're doing it the right way, one of them's got to get killed, and that's not good.
That's bad.
Divorce like Americans, marry like Klingons.
All right.
That's what you got to do.
That's where we stand.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
That's the official stance of it came from the radio on Klingon marriage.
Yes. So we are ready for our break there, Trevor?
I'm ready.
We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Yay!
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Was hot. Now back to our show.
And we are back with King Fun Radio. You like that one, Hassan?
It was a shadowy flight into a world of a man that does not exist.
Yeah, that's very, very true. You know what I've always wondered? That he changed his name from Michael Knight to Michael Long. Well, it was from Michael Long to Michael Knight.
Right.
Because it was supposed to be, and he got the face reconstruction surgery, right?
Yes. To look like his son.
Winston Knight, right? Wilson Knight?
Yeah.
Winston.
Garth
Knight.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So sorry, I know that.
When they made the new one, which was a direct continuation, the guy's name was Knight. I'm like, but that's not his name. He's going to be Long.
Well, Michael Knight took over the name and the title and probably inherited the foundation, the industry, since. I forget what Mr. Knight's name was, but Garth Knight was a disgrace. So he ousted him. That's why he hated Michael Knight. He ousted Garth Knight and then made some other kid look just like him.
Right.
And gave him the name Knight and handed him the keys to the empire.
Right. Okay. Right.
That pissed him off. That's why he built Goliath with the bonding shell.
Yes. Is it just a
trick? I always thought that Garth Knight should have had Carr.
All right. But then, you know.
Because then it would have been Michael Knight with Kit and Garth Knight with Carr. But Garth then, Knight had Goliath.
So. Yeah, well, then Carr would have killed Garth Knight.
Yes, Carr was homicidal.
Yeah, you know, he was only out for himself. That was a whole.
Yeah, which was a problem.
Right, so you had to have Goliath where it didn't have an AI.
So the Knight Industries 2000 is what Kit stood for. Carr was what? The
Knight Automated Roving Robot.
Roving Robot, yes.
How about
well
that?
Well done.
How about that? Man, that just pulled out of nowhere. I wonder how many people remember that. That should be like
a You know how long it took me to realize that Kit meant Knight Industries 2000?
Was it in 2000?
Yeah, it was a 2000 thing. I was like, wait a minute. What does Kit mean? I don't even understand. Oh, well, he talks. Who cares? And, you know, four or five seasons in, he was a Transformer. So, you know.
And then, you know, you think about what would have happened if they made the Night Industries 4,000? It would have been Kiff.
They did.
No, they made 3,000.
No, the 4,000 was in the movie, the red one.
That was the 4,000?
Mm-hmm. Night Industries 4,000.
Oh, I thought it was the 3,000. All right. Years ago, Scotty. With Scotty, right?
I guess Scotty was in it. I don't remember the movie too much.
The one where the car was driving in the water. It was the girl?
Yes.
All right. Scotty from Star Trek.
The robot, the AI died. It got shorted out. They were in the, no, what happened is Michael Mann had put Kit in his little Cadillac.
Right, right.
And then they got, the villains drove them into the water.
Right.
And Kit shorted out and died. But then they reconstituted him and ended up putting him in the Night Industry 4000.
Right.
And then Michael Knight was like, I retire. I'm not going to, you know. So it was supposed to be the girl show.
Right.
With the new Knight Rider robot with a new car.
Right.
But it never manifested. Nothing ever happened with it. And then they pretended that none of that existed. That never happened.
When they did
Team Knight Rider.
Correct.
And then they pretended that never happened. Then they did Knight Rider 2099 or whatever. They pretended that didn't happen. And then they did a TV show that just happened. Now they're pretending that didn't happen.
So I see that's the trend in the Knight Rider franchise.
Yeah. Whatever comes next never happened. The only thing that really happened was the original Knight Rider.
Which is so weird. You would think they would, you know, make...
And they were supposed to make a movie, right?
He's still pitching that idea. With David Hasselhoff as the lead, Glenn Larson as the writer. They're still trying to get that off the ground.
All right.
So
David Hasselhoff as the lead.
Yeah, he's been. That's what he does. He's been running around going, "I'm going to be in a new Knight Rider movie as the lead," and that's probably why it has never got picked up.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Oh, all right. So we're talking about movies. We're talking about movies this week because on the same line. You hate movies?
I don't know anything about movies.
No. Oh, all right. Well, people pay lots of money to go see them for no apparent reason, and they complain about it, and then they buy it on DVD.
Right.
So as this summer has whizzed by, and we've had a whole bunch of stuff happen. We have tons of guests that came by, which we're going to have more guests in the upcoming weeks. We had the convention we had to worry about. A whole bunch of stuff happened. We kind of missed some movies. And I remember we did the Resident Evil a couple weeks back, and it was two other movies that I really wanted to hit on. I want to do both for this half hour, which was the movie Looper and the movie Judge Dredd.
Looper.
All right, so you want to start off with Judge Dredd, or you want to go with Looper first?
You can talk about Looper. I'll just okay.
All right, so I will I will hit the Looper points because I love time travel movies, and this is about a time travel assassin, I guess.
Don't tell the end.
I will not tell the end. This will be a spoiler-free conversation just for Hassan's sake. How about that?
Thank you. All right. I would appreciate that.
So the movie is a time travel movie, and basically, based on the trailers, you would know that Bruce Willis plays the older Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he gets brought back 30 years in the past, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is supposed to kill Bruce Willis. That's the premise of the movie.
Right.
So they did a lot in this movie that I thought was smart. They explained things without actually having to explain them. Like there was like little minor things in the movie which gave it an interesting feel. For example, the cars had solar panels on them, but they didn't go, "Hey, the cars have solar panels." They just did. So, you know, kind of see it like it's the future, but, you know, you see how it could be a quote-unquote real future, what they're doing.
Right.
And then...
Like subtle, there were subtle nuances to it.
Yes, yes. So that made it very enjoyable. And with most time travel movies, they kind of go, you know, they have to go one route or the other. But in this one, they kind of did an ambiguous time travel situation. They basically said, okay, you know, this happens. 30 years later, we send them back, you kill them. That was the premise. And then when they actually have a scene with Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt talking to each other, He goes, yeah, I'm not going to go all crazy with the straws and stuff trying to explain the time travel stuff. It just is. And that's how it kind of was. So, you know, you kind of like, all right, it's kind of an ambiguous time travel thing, and they kind of sort of explain it. And depending on your view, it's how you interpret it. You know, it could be right. Alternate universe. It could be, you know, paradox. You can do any way you want. And it kind of left it open for that. I thought that was kind of nice.
Was there a threat of them turning into gelatinous goo if they touched each other?
No, there was none of that. There was no time cop references. But
one of my favorite time travel movies, by the way.
It's my favorite Van Damme movie, at very least.
Well, yes, it is my favorite Van Damme movie, but it's one of my favorite time travel movies also.
And
just the premise in and of itself, it's dated now because I just watched it recently. So it's very dated now, especially special effects wise and everything. But it still is a solid story, you know? And even the premise where he knew he couldn't, even though he was in the time travel bureau, he could not go back in time and save his wife and kids.
Right.
You know, because he, you know, those are the rules, and he followed the rules. And then circumstances, not to spoil the film, circumstances led to him ended up going back to save his wife anyway.
Right.
And it was, you know, I really just enjoyed the premise of the film, you know. And it's one of those, it's a cheap thrill. Because it's one of those happily ever after type films, you know, where like, you know, the hero doesn't get killed two minutes away from accomplishing his goal, you know,
And they also showed how his martial arts had gotten better from the younger Van Damme to the older Van Damme, which I thought was nice.
Know what the heck he was doing. He threw a kick and lost.
Yes.
And the older Van Damme was like, no, son, not like that, like this.
This is how you do it, right.
Yeah, exactly. And they managed to save it. And Mia Farrow was still a good-looking woman back then.
Yeah, smoking hot.
She's like the perfect girl-next-door wife, you know?
Yeah.
And just recently, she hasn't, well, we won't talk about now. Back then...
Well, that was, how long ago was that? 20 years?
Yeah. I don't know. It was in the 90s. I think it was 94, 95.
That's like 20 years.
Yeah, so, no, but I'm saying it's not...
Hey, give her a break.
But, yeah.
All right.
Give her a break. She was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, right.
And Legend. She was around, man.
Yes. And then that was supposedly her big comeback, which, you know, it just wasn't.
Time Cop?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But she did Lion King, so she got money.
Well, all right.
but this movie, the main part that you had to believe is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt would turn into Bruce Willis. So
did you believe it?
I did not believe it at first. You know, 'cause I'm like, I don't see it. And then you're watching the movie, and there's this one scene where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is being interrogated by Jeff Bridges. Jeff Daniels, I would say.
Oh, all right.
And he puts on the same swarmy look that Bruce Willis does. He has the same, you know, mannerisms. And I'm like, holy crap, I can actually believe that he can grow up to be Bruce Willis. And once I had that, it was pretty good. I was misled by the trailers because you watch the trailers, you think it's going to be an action crazy movie. But this was a more very solid science fiction movie.
And, really?
Yeah. And they took some direction in the movie, which I would say I was proud of for a movie to do, because I was like, wow, I can't believe they actually had the gumption to do this, or they actually went down this road. And then the resolution was very unique and different, at least in my eyes. And I was like, wow, that was pretty darn good. If I would say it was one of the best science fiction time travel movies I've seen in a long time. And it actually left me thinking, like, wow, that was actually kind of a heavy movie, what I did not expect to go into seeing a heavy movie. So I would say, you know, if it's still out there.
Would you tell me to go see it?
Yes, I would say to go see it. Okay. But then again, I've told you to see things, and I said, this is awesome. And you're like, yeah, whatever. And then you go see it, and you're like, you're ridiculous.
Well, we're not talking about me. We're talking about, like, you seeing it, and you saying, I need to go tell someone else to see this.
Yes. I've talked to other people, and they all agree that they're like, wow, this is a kind of a heavy movie. And it was, you know, pretty well done. I would, you know, I like it on the same scale as 12 Monkeys, another time travel movie. But I thought this was even better because, you know, it was a fresher movie. And they did a very well job with it. And there was one problem I had, and unless you've seen it, I won't be able to tell you what it is. But when you see it, I'll be like, oh yeah, there was that one scene. I was like, oh, that wasn't right. But other than that, it was pretty solid, good movie all the way through. Go see it instead of watching other stuff such as Paranormal Activity 4.
All right.
Now, for the movie you have seen, that is Judge Dredd. Now, I've never seen the original one. And
it's actually not Judge Dredd. It's just Dredd.
Yes, Dredd.
Or Dredd 3D.
Dredd 3D, which is also available in 2D if you don't want to pay it. that's the subtitle. Also available in 2D. Because there's some
3D movies. I saw that
movies.
With you at the theater.
Yes. There's certain 3D movies that don't have 2D versions, but this would be one of them that has a 2D version. I thought that it was a good, solid movie. It was tons of action. Really violent. I thought the 3D was great. It's very rare that I think 3D is on par. As they say, it was a very low-budget movie. It felt like RoboCop. I mean, Carl Urban.
Urban.
I was going to go for the fancy way. But I thought he did a pretty solid job of being the character. Now, I'm not familiar with the character. I've only read one Judge Dredd comic book, so I wasn't familiar with anything. But it was pretty self-explanatory about how his gun worked. They kind of just explained it along the way. And they put him in a situation where they didn't have to spend tons of money on special effects because of where they were at. They kind of just contained them. The problem I had with that movie is that I had seen another movie a couple months back called The Raid, which felt like the exact same movie. It was a Japanese movie where there was some cops raiding a drug building, and they had to fight their way up floor to floor to floor to get to the bad guy. And it was just as violent, just as much action. So I was like, I just saw this movie. And I think that had I not seen The Raid first, I would have appreciated this more, but I was still pretty happy with it. What did you think?
I didn't see The Raid, so that helped a little bit. I saw the original Judge Dredd, and I'm like you. I'm not familiar with the Judge Dredd character from the comic books. So my problem with the original Judge Dredd wasn't that it wasn't in keeping with the comic books, although I do know that Judge Dredd does not take off his helmet. So the minute Sylvester Stallone took his helmet off, it ruined it for most of the fans. For me, I really enjoyed the first 20 minutes of the original Judge Dredd movie. I liked the look and feel of it. I liked the design of the film. I liked the weapons. I actually liked Stallone's portrayal of Judge Dredd. And I liked it up until that moment, that conversation he has with Max von Sydow, where he actually takes his helmet off. Then it becomes like another Stallone vehicle. It becomes like Demolition Man meets the cliffhanger, and it's like, okay. So all the interesting nuance of Mega City 1 and that world that they lived in, all of that was gone the minute he took his helmet off, and it just became a Sylvester Stallone movie with flying cars.
Right.
So having that been said, I saw the new Dredd, and I like Carl Urban. I'm a fan of his. There are some things about that film I did not like in comparison with the original film. I thought the look and the feel of the original film gave me the impression that this was a different time. This was in the future where things are kind of in that Blade Runner hodgepodge where things have advanced and mankind enjoys certain technologies, but things have gotten really bad also, and mankind is virtually on the verge of extinction, even though we have these amazing technologies. And there was a feeling of that time had passed and that there was a lot of history involved that we just missed and we were just joining them late. The new Dredd doesn't really have that feeling because it's not a commentary or a critique on the world of Judge Dredd. It's not a commentary on Mega City and life in Mega City. It's kind of a commentary on one day in the life of these judges.
Right.
And I didn't like the costumes too much. I didn't like the judge the uniforms.
Right.
I thought they were kind of lackluster. Having that been said, I thought it was a great film. I thought it was a very solid film. I was happy for Carl Urban. I thought the building they got stuck in, the block that they were stuck in, I thought that there was a, even though it seemed like, okay, they're going to go in there in a couple of, you know, it's going to be like Die Hard.
Right.
It's going to be a couple of scenes. No, there was a lot of stuff in that in that building. There was a lot going on. A lot of things were happening, and it was very well, it was very well choreographed. It was very well pulled off. And also Judge Anderson, who was a psychic, and she's a psychic in the comic book, I thought that they did her powers. They did utilize the fact that, A, she was psychic, and that's not normal. You know, most of the mutants are freaky, you know, and they don't look good, and they, you know, the powers are basically shunned. So, like, A, that she had these powers. B, she knew the way that they went about her utilizing the powers and learning how to come to grips with them as throughout the story. And then C, like, just her, the overall character in general, and her relationship with Dredd. I thought that was well done. So I enjoyed the film. And the violence, I'm not bothered by violence. So even though I think maybe in this film it does go over the top a little bit, but it didn't go Rambo over the top.
Right.
So I like the film. I recommend it for others.
And I thought that they had an important part in Dredd where she had no helmet on. And they made a specific point, because I'm sitting there like, hey, she don't have her helmet on. Why wouldn't she not wear her helmet? And they explain why she wouldn't wear her helmet. I was like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
Thank you for explaining that for me.
It was like, okay, you know, I'd buy that.
Yeah. So that's something that I like to look forward to, that if I do happen upon a question while I'm watching going, hey, they would address that very same question in a logical way. And you go, all right, let's keep it moving. Not,
right.
You know, don't bother. Don't look behind the guy in the curtain. You know, don't do that. There's no reason beyond the fact that she's the girl and we have to see her face to have her not have a helmet on.
Right, right. And we need to, yeah, she's a girl. She's the hot chick. No one's going to want to watch this if they're not looking at the hot chick the whole time.
Right.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I completely agree. That the reason she didn't have a helmet on was a good reason. It was a solid reason.
But I think the if I had any problem, it would be the villains. I mean,
Mama.
The resolution was like, that's it. That's it. That's the resolution. They did that five times already in the same movie.
That was the problem, really, with the film, is that there wasn't much to it. So once you got over the fact that the movie didn't stink. And you were on board. You were like, all right, you got me now. So I'm here for the ride. By the time you're over the fact that they didn't screw the movie up, it's over.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, that's how I felt about it. It's like, wow, this is getting pretty good. And they're pulling all this off. And okay, I guess it's over.
Yeah. It's like...
Well, I guess that was interesting.
And had anybody went to see it because it did poorly in the American audience, but it did great overseas, then there would be a sequel and they could have enhanced what they had.
Yeah, that's a shame. Because I could see some more of those with the actual budget. If they had, you know, if the movie had done well so that they could do an actual, you know, get an actual budget for it, I could have seen that, you know, I could see the way they set that up where there could be sequels.
And I don't know if you've noticed this, but this year in particular, at least in my opinion, certain good movies that were solidly made did not draw an audience. I mean, that would be one of them. That
give some examples.
Well, Looper didn't really make a ton of money. And I was like, wow, why aren't people seeing this? Judge Dredd, solid movie. People aren't going to see this. They'll go see Paranormal Activity, but like, you know, what happened this year that I'm sitting there, I'm watching movies, I'm like, wow, this is pretty good. And then we're not getting any, they're not getting the respect that I think they should get for being good movies.
It's not a science fiction action adventure kind of year, I guess.
Well, you would say that, but then Avengers makes $1 billion.
Some of them.
I mean, but, didn't, like, what was that movie? Didn't, the superhero one with the video camera. Didn't that come out this year? Oh, that was last year.
Which one? Chronicle?
Yeah.
Might have been this year. It might have been the end of the beginning of this year.
Yeah. So I thought that was also another solid movie.
It did well though.
But not all right. But it didn't do, you know, it didn't get that giant buzz that, you know, people love to talk about so much, you know, Dark Knight, Avengers. I felt it needed to have more respect than what it got.
I think this summer suffered from Avengers syndrome. Nobody expected Avengers to be as good as it was, and nobody expected it to do as good as it did. So people are, it's a double-edged sword. A, everybody's comparing the success of their movie to the success of Avengers, which is not fair. And B, everyone who's going to a movie is comparing their experience at Avengers with the experience at some of these other movies, and they're coming up wanting, you know, they're coming up goose eggs on a lot of these other films. Not for any fault of the other films, but, you know, because not everything can be Avengers.
Right.
And I think that's what's affecting it. I think Avengers had a profound effect on the summer. You know, it just changed everybody's perspective right away. And everybody was talking about it. Everybody was like, oh, that's the only movie that was ever made. You know, that's why they're saying that Dark Knight was kind of a flop.
Yeah.
How can you say it's a flop? Dark Knight was, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Dark Knight movies, but that movie was a solid movie. And it did really well, but they didn't think it did as well as Avengers.
Right.
So now it's a failure. So a lot of movies are suffering just because they're not Avengers. Which, you know, it irks me for several other reasons that I really won't get into on this show.
And I don't know. I guess it just bothers me because, you know, I do watch a lot of movies, and certain of them, I'm like, you know, people should really see these movies. So maybe they'll get more life on DVD. I guess that's what it is for anyway.
Yeah, that's what's been happening.
No,
I mean, there's movies that were surefire flops that I was certain were flops, and then they came out on DVD, and, you know, then a couple of years later you see the, you know, the mega hit of blah blah blah. I was like, mega hit? I went to the theater. There were like six people in that theater, and a Hobbit. You know, there's no way that movie did well.
And a Hobbit.
Yeah, but the thing is, it did really well on DVD. It sold extremely well on DVD. People took it home and watched it, or it did really well on Netflix. People streamed it or downloaded it, and you know, that's how the movie made the revenue back.
Yeah, and look at Total Recall. I thought that was, if you're gonna make a remake, that's how you make a remake.
That's what I'm talking about. That movie was a great movie.
Nobody went to see it.
No, I told you it suffered from Avengers syndrome.
So that's just maybe that's what it is. I mean, that must be the case because every other year, you know, you have a hit, you have a miss, but this one I just felt this year in particular, a lot of good things just fell through the cracks.
Right. So everybody blew their wad, their movie wad on Avengers.
Well, that's what they get for going to see the same movie 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
I actually saw the movie 4 times.
I've saw bits and pieces of it 3 times. I've seen enough to put together a whole movie.
I ended up going 4 times. The movie, and you know how I felt about the movie. I am ambiguous towards it. I think it's a good movie. I think there's a lot of things about the movie I don't like, which were celebrated in the film, but I think it deserves the prestige that it's got. You know,
right?
I think it's definitely an accomplishment. So. You know, but, you know, it has destroyed several other movies.
So maybe next year when
destroyed the entire season, I think.
When the quote-unquote summer movies come out, then we won't have this problem, and then the other guys will get a fair shake. Hopefully.
Maybe.
Even a little movie called Seven Psychopaths, I saw that the other day. That was a great movie. Multi-layered, hilarious. Little odd. It was like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but, you know, nobody wants to see that either. So it's kind of upsetting that they put all their eggs in one basket because it made a gazillion dollars. And now that's all. They're talking about Avengers 2. They're talking about the fight between Justice League of America movie and Avengers 2.
That's what I'm talking about. Everybody's looking to the future.
2015. We can't even get to 13 and 14 yet. They're talking about 2015.
Nope. That's why they're putting Christmas lights up and stuff like that. We haven't even had October yet. We haven't even had Halloween. And people are talking about Christmas shopping. So... You know, I mean, that's the world we live in now.
I guess so. So, you know, we're talking about 2015 and the year 2012. If the world doesn't end in a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, but it will.
All right.
Don't worry.
So, we're just about out of time. You have any final thoughts? See the movies? Don't see the movies? Did I convince you to go see the movie?
Hey, man. What if these are my final thoughts? What? I'm ending it on whimsy.
All right.
Suppose these thoughts are indeed my last thoughts.
Well, I think we'll have to wait for the 19th for that one, for the 12/19
show. Yes, you will.
All right, my final thought is, you know, go see these movies. There are other movies out there besides Avengers. You know, get it on Netflix, buy it on DVD, spend some money on it. They're well worth the time. And I guess that about wraps it up for this week on I Came From Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB, Wednesdays, 9 o'clock. If you miss any part of this show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and it'll be up on there. You also like us on our Facebook page. Most of our news items are up there, and we will see you next week.
Yay!
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.